I'm an avid Rush Hour listener of your program, a 47-year-old man who has been married for 24 years with four children. For 40 years, you have told me your mother has bitched and complained and moaned and made it perfectly clear that she doesn't love her husband and she's not happy, which is something we have always wanted for the benefit of our children. I recently purchased your book, The Proper Care and Feeding of Husbands, for two reasons. First, because I have been miserable in my marriage for as long as I can remember. And second, because you mentioned that if I wanted my wife to read the book, the best way would be to get it and read it myself first. My wife's reaction to your book is probably typical for marriages in my condition. First, she said the title was demeaning to men, and after a few chapters, that the book is demeaning to women. Couldn't win that one, could I? I have read your book twice, and I can attest that if my wife would have acknowledged or applied any of your advice, there would be a chance that our marriage could survive. I know my wife would have a much happier life if she just would have read the book. So my question is, very pointedly, has he done something to deserve that, or is she just mean?
I don't know if I can answer that.
Well, you've known them for 40 years, so you need to tell me.
I think she may have psychological damage, probably not mean-spirited, but for some reason can't be happy.
Somebody that psychologically damaged couldn't have been a good mother. I think it would be most helpful for her if you would have a private discussion with her and tell her what's like growing up as a man and how cruel and hurtful it was and how it impacted you as a male. How many of you married women would take umbrage at being called my wife? The ones who do are not happily married and won't be. There are these key things I can tell when a woman's going to be happy or not. That's my letter from a dear lady from Missouri. The picture of the family just tears up my heart. It's just so beautiful.
It began the night of our January school play. Not my self-consciousness, but my story of overcoming it. We had a party on stage after the play. Oh, I wasn't in the cast. Not me. I was on the stage crew. I'll tell you about that later. The point is, somebody grabbed a spotlight and started a sort of game. When the light stopped on you, you'd have to get up and make a speech. Jack sure did all right, but why not? He was the star of the play. That sort of thing was easy for him. Of course, I wanted to do well, too. I wanted to shine. I started planning what I was going to say. I'd wow him. And then it happened. There I was, in the spotlight, and I felt uncomfortable, and awkward, and different, and they were all watching me, and laughing, at what? At me? What was I doing wrong? Did I look funny? Unaccustomed as I am to public speaking, I guess I'll just shut up and sit down. It was terrible, I knew it.
Hey, that was neat, Marty, but don't be so
self-conscious. That was my trouble. That was why I felt so queer. And I begin to remember other times I had the same feeling. I remembered giving a book report in class. It was exactly the same. Yes, as if there were a spotlight on me, and everybody was watching me. Oh, I managed to get through my report all right, but I was miserable.
That is correct.
But why would I do something like that to myself?
And then I remembered the first time I asked June for a date.
That is correct.
I knew just what I wanted to say.
If I'm not me, then who am I?
That is correct.
Yeah, I felt spotlighted again. And the words didn't want to come out. And she was staring at... And I remembered coming to try out for this play. Boy, I really wanted a part. I felt sure I could get one, too, until... I'm not going to try out. I'd like to work on stage crew. Stage crew. Well, it was fun, but it wasn't what I wanted.
That is correct.
Yeah, the night of the party, Jack said it, and I knew he was right. Self-conscious. I felt I could never get up in front of the class, or ask a girl for a date, or do anything in public again. Yeah, I was a self-conscious guy. I couldn't even stay out the party.
Oh, hi, Marty. Oh, hi, Jack. Say, what happened to you last night? I didn't feel so good. Oh, too bad. Boy, wasn't that something when they had that spotlight on us? Joe was so scared my knees were knocking. I could hardly talk.
You were self-conscious?
Sure, I guess everybody is sometimes.
Everybody? I guess that's right.
Say, listen, I've got to get to class. Sure hope you're feeling better.
All right, come on.
Everybody's self-conscious. After that, I began to notice other people. Phil, for example. He always seems relaxed and comfortable. But a couple of years back, I can remember what a self-conscious guy he was. He really has overcome it. Then there's Anne. She likes to play for people.
Well, you seem to attract psychotic people in your life. Jim and I are about the only sane people you've ever met.
Seems like it, huh?
I swear.
What does that say about me?
That says that maybe you're, a dose of the catch,
A who?
A dose of the catch. You are part of it. You are a psychotic motherfucker, and that's why you attract psychotic people.
I don't think so. I don't think that you think that. I think you know better.
Show those gentle Ben pictures to a psychologist, my friend.
Oh, you've never done anything wrong.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Gentle Ben pictures.
You think gentle Ben's worse than anything you've ever said?
Worse than anything I ever said? Wow, I don't know. It ranks up there. It ranks up there, buddy.
There's a difference between visual because it lasts and audio. You think you just say something really, really, really sick, but because you just said it, no one takes it. It's just like, guess what? You get away with it, so it's not as bad or something.
Yeah, I guess sometimes some of us do react more to visual stimuli than audio stimuli.
Yeah, I did that at fucking high school, man.
Yeah.
I wasn't the only one doing it.
No, of course
not.
You had a whole bunch of perverts around.
Well, perverts, fucking grade A.
Polak psychotic perverts.
Well, then they were grade A psychotic popular perverts.
Oh my god, popular.
Well, fucking.
No, I'm teasing you, really. I'm teasing you. I'm just teasing you. I just said that perhaps you are slightly psychotic, and that's why you attract psychotic people. Bird of a feather flock together,
It's more like Perry Stone. I bet he could have, just shitloads of fucked up weird-ass followers.
Oh, God, I don't know about that. He gets letters and stuff, but they're all pretty civil because they realize that they can't attack him without being their civil, snooty way.
Maybe I just provoke psychotic people because I'm such a thorn.
You're such a thorn. You really are. You are a thorn, motherfucker, man.
That's a sign of true genius when someone's got enough of the truth to really get to you.
I don't know. It's not so much as that. It's how much gall you're going to have to go and use it. You know, how much gall.
I'm sorry, but admit...
It's basically apathy.
You can be like you, man. You can be very obnoxious and rude and
how often am I like that?
And people just kind of, you know, shrug you off because they take you as a joke. Or you can just be a skilled surgeon with your words of wit, as I am. As you know, I can be when I'm angry and stuff. And just tear people apart and make them hate you with an incredible loathing.
Sure, I could do that, and it's fun to do it in writing rather than, you know, on people.
You know I'm better at it. You know that I am.
Better at poetry?
No. Better at, you know, verbally, you know. Just...
Oh, I thought we were just talking about it in general.
Talking about, like, on the phone lines and stuff, I could see how I'd make enemies.
I think I did a pretty good job myself as Dave the Motivator there on that line.
No one was impressed. No one was.
Oh, the fuck you, buddy.
No one was impressed.
The hell they were. I can call back and still on the 379 and talk to people.
You weren't clever enough to make them...
I burned your asshole, buddy.
To their base, to the root of their...
No. I was every bit as good as you were on that fucking line.
No one can beat me.
I'm sorry, sir. All you had to your advantage was a keyboard and a bunch of samples.
I'm talking about just my ability to insult and...
No.
You at the
no.
Time.
The only thing that you have the ability to insult, which reigns over me, is the amount of anger when you get so angry and so pissed off.
At the time, when we were doing it on the line stuff together, when we do it together, like the Scott and stuff, you would admit that I was so good at that you just couldn't beat it. I was just
no, I couldn't beat impressions. You did false voices and stuff. No, I couldn't beat any of that.
Everything.
Yeah, well, I mean, I couldn't beat that. I could get away with it, though. But I couldn't beat yours, but as for content, I definitely burned your ass. What?
I'm not going to have to get on the phone. I'm going to have to stay on the phone. All okay? You want the dishes clean, Mom? You'll be good. Stop wearing my bathrobe. I'll get the dishes clean and stay on the phone.
Are you in the kitchen?
Yeah.
Oh. Your mommy the landlord there, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Woo! Wow, that was kind of risky. Calling here. With your mama in the room.
So, for the first time in 10 years, we have a lot of
against communism, but against all who refuse to adhere to the words of the warmongering, lying, deceitful old reprobates of the dark ages. Still fighting the same old wars, going as far back as 6,000 years, and oh yes, Holocaust, meaning holy cause, are the so-called holy wars that originated in the minds of the God-oriented despots. Well, they became well-established only by scapegoating, maligning, spreading malicious and vicious lies without end. Yes, America, read the Bible, but use your noodle. Oh, you have to use your noodle. You have to think. Today, the live Nazis are overthrowing our government right before our very eyes. Now, religious fanaticism is not patriotism. Religious fanaticism is, well, shall we say, the tool of the devil. Now, this has been going on for centuries. Yes, America, read the Bible, but use your noodle, and you will discover that the so-called heroes of the Bible were the Nazis of the Dark Ages. That's what bothers me. That's what bothers me. That's what bothers me. Me. They're all worshiping false gods around the world, and they're all killing one another. The religious fanatics are killing one another all around the world, and you talk about the threat of communism. Yeah, don't laugh at me, you fool. You talkative fool, you. You're a fat rubber mouth, too. All of you, you propagandists. You talk about communist propaganda. You know, I'm out to clean up our own backyard. I know what's going on in our own country. You know, religion has put a curse on you, all humanity. And religion does drive people crazy. You want the truth. How is that for a dose of truth, Mr. Breen?
Now do what I'd like you to do.
Hater.
Now go ahead. Do what I'd like you to do.
All right.
Elmo?
Yeah.
Why did you start the Run Suicide Club?
Fuck you. We don't talk about it. We did it for our pleasure at your expense. And we don't know why we did it.
How many people are with the World Suicide Club?
Well, probably thousands. Millions and millions.
Are you a homosexual, Elmo?
Maybe I am, maybe I'm not.
Can you be a little bit more precise?
No, listen, we're not here to even talk about that bullshit, alright? So just fuck it. Bugger off. And I have a message here for, to Mr. 115, Yeah, bud, bend over. Well, I'm here in Gelato Hell, and it's pretty goddamn Spock.
Do you drink espresso?
What?
Do you drink espresso? You're a butt wipe, Elmo.
Ask me if I blow my nose, shit face.
You're a butt wipe.
Ask me if I blow my nose, shit face.
You're a butt wipe.
Well, that was fucking good.
You use drugs, Elmo?
We take more drugs than there are names for.
Do you think there should be drug testing, Elmo?
Listen, if you're not smart enough to not take drugs, then you deserve to be fucking thrown in jail. Well, this has been really fun, but I gotta jam. Later.
Not gonna try to be a you-know-who. If I die today, the world still spins out of control since the start of time. Common sense says that's how we'll end. Brothers and sisters long since lost pride. Their faces grew long with their homes on their back. Belittled and swallowed, they're hollow inside. Abandoned by a system that is built for attack. Nobody cares about who they once were. Your past only counts if it can be held against you. Stay away from the fools who demanded the reason. Shelter the ones who believe the sky is not blue. Be yourself and not somebody else, but stay in the boundaries of what everyone likes. You can be anything in this great land of ours, but of course you're aware there's always a price. Old shoes wrinkled by the old ways and means, astonished that youth seems to be fit to be tied. Reflecting on days they see as strong, when the ones who had doubts had to literally hide. Don't mind me, I'm just blowing off steam. It's just a temporary illusion, I swear. So what if I'm being killed in a dream? Lord knows I'm insane if I think we should care. Pray for my soul, for I really care. My existence depends on the length of my hair. They said it's no longer cool to stand up and fight. Don't question society, just assume that it's right. Drop a dime in the can to help the homeless survive. Make healthy jokes about the ones barely alive. Pity the fool who even dares to say, this system sucks, there's a much better way. Condition the young to think like the old. Give them the same old line that they can change things. Make them believe that history died for their souls. Convince the young fools that they're born without strings. Program the youth to turn against its own. Preach the old ways the right way and it works for this long. Label hostility and indifference as a failure to cope. Shoot the cynical punks who still cling on to hope. Still wondering why the world took on dope? Once used for control, now needed to cope.
Oh, that's a trip when you put your head out the window and you start screaming. Woo!
Hello, you have reached Sprocket Hotline. We answer all questions. This is Sprocket Fan Club on West German Television. Did you know that some people have said that batteries are not the goodest things in the world, that they symbolically represent things that can be bad for you? Well, if you don't know this, then maybe you should be thinking about it. Also, I like touching the videotapes. I mean, unscrew them sometime and try touching the actual tape material. You'll find it is very slick and surfacey. I like textures. That's all for now. You have reached Sprocket's hotline. We will have more fine sprockets tomorrow when we will be trying unusual phone calls to people trying to enlighten their dim horizons. This is Sprocket's in America. For more information, keep calling. Today on Sprocket's, we are calling the 7-Eleven. Hello. Today on Sprocket's, we are wondering if you have the Big Gulp. Do you have the Big Gulp for Sprocket? We do like the Big Gulp. It is ice cold and the textures excite us.
Big Gulp?
Yes, do you have the Big Gulp?
Plenty of Big Gulp, 69 cents. On sale.
You are having the sale on the Big Gulp? Then we will be right down from Sprocket. We will do our show from there. I thank you very much.
You may start your message now.
It wasn't long after when I made a big discovery about how to overcome self-consciousness. I was helping Jack with his ping pong game. He hadn't been playing very long, but he was learning and doing right well. Then Hank and Bill came in and hung around watching. And suddenly it seemed as though Jack was feeling on the spot. He started fumbling, and then he quit. Now what made Jack suddenly feel self-conscious? Was it because he didn't play well? I wasn't self-conscious about ping pong. Why the difference? And then, well, I had to talk to Jack.
I have an idea about self-consciousness. Everybody wants to show up really well. You want people to think you're pretty good. But then you start thinking about yourself, how everybody's watching you, what you must look like to them.
And then you make a mess of it.
Sometimes. But usually you don't. You just think you do. But look, if you can do something really well, then you're more confident. Self-consciousness doesn't bother you quite so much. I could do more things well. You gonna try out for the class play in April?
I guess so.
Me too. Only this time I'm really gonna try out.
Hello, Marty.
Well,
are you going to help us out on the stage crew again this time?
This time I really want a part in the play.
Why, that's fine. Why don't you go ahead and read some lines for me?
When I am in trouble, eating is the only thing that consoles me. Indeed, when I am in really great trouble, as anyone who knows me and...
Hello, McDonald's, this is Carol.
Hi, can you tell me what's on that new cheddar melt sandwich?
Sure, it's the teriyaki onions and teriyaki sauce.
Uh-huh.
And cheddar cheese and a rye bun.
Sounds great.
And a quarter, have you ever had a quarter pounder?
Oh, thousands.
Okay, it has the same size patty on the cheddar melt.
Great. You know, years ago, y'all used to have a steak sandwich. Do you still have that?
No, we don't.
You don't?
No.
Generally, on St. Patrick's Day, you guys have that pineapple or whatever, that green milkshake?
Uh-huh.
Are you going to have that again this year?
You know, I have not heard anything about that this year.
Huh.
And last year, we didn't have it.
I was devastated. I was very disappointed.
Yeah. I know a lot of customers really like it, but... I don't know whatever happened to that.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll just wait and see what happens then.
Sorry about that.
Well, thanks very much for your information.
Oh, no problem.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Bye. It's funny. I thought I detected a little note of disgust as she hung up the telephone. God, I'm starving.
Hello?
Is this Jack in the Box?
Who is this?
Is this Jack in the Box?
Yes.
I need to know about the egg rolls. How many egg rolls do you get in one order?
3-piece and 5-piece.
Oh, you have 3-piece and 5-piece. And does the sauce come with it?
How many you want?
Well, does the sauce come with the egg rolls? Does the sauce come with the egg rolls?
1 second, please.
Ah, Christ. Yes, does the sauce come with the egg rolls?
Uh-huh.
It does. What kind of sauce? Sweet and sour?
Can you repeat this again, please?
Pardon me?
Can you repeat the question you just asked me again?
I'm trying to find out what kind of... sauce comes with the egg rolls.
Oh, okay. We have sweet and sour, barbecue, buttermilk, and ketchup.
Great.
It didn't accomplish anything resembling the budget cut, the deficit reductions they were talking about. But
bye-bye. Hello,
guys.
Trouble.
Hello. Trouble.
This particular person
or exactly. Well, you callers just can't seem to agree. You've all got a different idea on what you want. So I decided to that voting thing just wasn't going to work. So anyway, I'm just going to record something on location. Here I am in Los Gatos Park Men's Room. And I'm going to go to the shopping mall in a few minutes and just record sounds, walk around and ask people questions and record it. So, wait, I got to quit talking. Someone's coming in using the urinal next to me.
Hi, say what's your name?
Mr. Chemist.
Ooh, that's a nice name. Oh, your penis is so big.
What?
Like it's bigger than mine.
What?
Let me feel it. Ooh. Well, why don't you reach over and hold mine?
Yeah, sure.
Oh,
I'm yeah. Don't twist it.
I'm going to go tell my friend Vinny. Oh.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm really afraid to go get your little wimpy friend Vinny. Well, while he's gone getting his friend Vinny, I'm going to get out of here. I got to go start making the recording at the shopping mall. Ooh, wow, who's this guy? He's big.
Are you Mr. Chemist?
Yeah.
On my friend's penis.
Well, he made me do it.
Let me see yours, man.
No, no.
Ow.
Are you
You may start your message now.
To win the war, the first war of the 21st century, which is the war against terrorism and weapons of mass destruction in the hands of dictators.
get to your stupid fucking boss. We're fucking busy. Rather than normal, I'm talking fast. I'm so busy that I would die when they would instantly quit and be busy fast. Blah, 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 real fast. I'm calling from a payphone. I gotta tell you what just happened. It's unbelievable. I got off of work. Usually, I go up, Homestead, and get over to Tantau. Today, I decided to go straight down Lawrence and up Prunage Hill. And I wasn't even going to stop, but I figured I'd stop at the 7-Eleven, you know, the one right by my house. And so I walked in there, and I went in, and I got some bubble gum, which is what I usually do. And I went in and played like a video game. And, hold on, there's some people. Okay, I'm going back. I like being watched. Anyhow, so I walked in there, and I fucked around with the video game, and I kept just leading, and I'll play one more game. Finally, I spent like a dollar. I left. So I'm walking out, and there's this cute little girl, probably, oh, God, I don't know. She could have been anywhere from 13 to 19. Anyhow, she had her dog and her little mouse, and I was like, oh, wow, hey, little mouse. And I just came out and started talking to her. Oh, yeah, I have rats, and she thought it was really neat. And then, you know, before anything happened, though, I saw this girl kind of out of the corner of my eye. She pulled up in the driveway, walked right past me into the 7-Eleven, and it was Mrs. Kennedy. Yeah, remember the girl from the Phoenix, the one who sat there in the jacket all by herself doing the work for all those hours? It was her. And I kind of looked at her, and I almost fell off my bike. And so I just started staring at her, and the other girl, I guess, figured I was going to talk with her and started to leave. And I went, hey, you're from the Phoenix. And she looked at me really dumb, like, huh, what, were you there? And I went, no, not tonight, because she meant, like, tonight. And I said, no, not tonight. The other night. She went, oh, yeah, the other night, yeah, I was there. And I was, like, so stunned, you know. Confused, you don't think, Mike, and you're all, fuck, what a weird coincidence. You know, two things at once, and my mind froze up. And before I could do anything, the chick with the little mouse and her dog fucking walked home. And I sort of, like, looked back at me once, and I just kind of went, you know, and she gave me this weird little look, like, oh, well, do that. And then the lady just went in the store, and I was so out of it. I just went, fuck, got on my bike and started to leave. And then I fucking stopped. Right over here by these apartments that are right next to the 7-Eleven. They're called Oak Ridge Apartments. They're the ones right by my house. Closest apartments to my house. And I stopped, and I started turning around, and I just stabbed out there right under the streetlight.
You know, Steve, as I listen to these tapes, I am consistently struck by and amazed by how hyper I was, how much I talked, and how amazing I thought stupid little nothing things were, and how highly I thought of myself, and how close I thought I was when I wasn't close to anything. How did you stand me? Am I still like this? I just can't tell. Hope not. You probably won't ever hear this unless you're actually... I can't imagine that you'd be listening through this tape. The odds are pretty low. I haven't left any comments on any of your other tapes. But I've been very, very good. I don't think I've erased anything. I haven't erased or really deleted anything. When I say, oh, there was one tape or something where, like, I was dubbing and I didn't know it. I was, like, playing something, checking a different tape, and it copied on one of your tapes, and it recorded over some stuff of mine and some other stuff, but nothing really critical. But I've left everything on here, all this shit of me that I can't stand to listen to. But, wow. Anyways, back to you.
End of message.
Oh, I was not puzzled by that puzzling lyric because I wasn't particularly interested in it. I never understood why that album was so well received by everyone else because it bored me to tears. So I never got interested enough to be puzzled. As for the business, well, I'm a keyboard player and singer and worked in various kinds of rock and roll bands from the early 70s onward. Was involved in several independent recording projects, I guess the most recent of which was in 1983, a single on Backtrack Records by the Sunny Lane Blues Band with Mississippi Johnny Waters singing lead vocals, the late Mississippi Johnny Waters. And it would be very complicated to try and explain why I'm not in the business, but let's just say that I love music and I hate the business and I hate the alcohol subculture. And I practically never go into bars unless I have to work in them. I hate the exploitation, I hate the con, I hate the bullshit, and I didn't like thinking of myself as a prostitute for the alcohol industry. And unless you're playing arenas, that's a lot of what you're doing. You work in nightclubs 6 nights a week, and I'll tell you, you'll see some really unhealthy and depressing things. And it can be very difficult to maintain your respect for fellow human beings under those circumstances. When you're doing music, you find that most of your energy doesn't go into music at all. It goes into socializing. It goes into finding the right people. You
you learn all about marketing and packaging and selling yourself, and everything, especially in this era, becomes extremely materialistic and extremely calculating. Now, despite all that, I know there are people who come through it and do good work and serious work and take it seriously as art, and I have the greatest respect for that kind of person. As for me, I play and write music for my own enjoyment, and I can't say for sure that I'm permanently...
End of message.
At the present moment, I'm eating muffins because I'm unhappy.
Come on, eat.
Everybody say it.
Besides, I am particularly fond of muffins.
Well, let's eat them.
They were laughing, but now I knew they were laughing at the situation, not at me. Yes, it really helps to develop skills, so I can concentrate on what I'm doing instead of how I'm doing it. It helps to think of other people and remember that I'm not so important. And it helps to turn that spotlight on the whole situation. Then I can almost forget to be self-conscious. Almost is right. I'm getting closer now. Because I'm getting more and more practice in turning the spotlight onto the situation as a whole. It helps in class, too. When I feel self-conscious, I remember that the class isn't interested in me, but in what I have to say. Well, there it is. I still feel a little self-conscious at times. But by concentrating on others, by doing my best to make the whole situation easier, I overcome my own self-consciousness. It helps me enjoy being with people. And I think it helps people enjoy being with me. It could help you too, couldn't it?
My micro mechanism thanks you. My computer tapes thank you. And I thank you.
Then they expect you to pick a career when you can't really function, you're so full of fear. When they tortured and scared you for 20 odd years, then they expect you to pick a career when you can't really function, you're so full of fear. When they tortured and scared you for 20 odd years, then they expect you to pick a career when you can't really function, you're so full of fear. When they tortured and scared you for 20 odd years, then they expect you to pick a career when you can't really function, you're so full of fear. When they tortured and scared you for 20 odd years, then they expect you to pick a career when you can't really function, you're so full of fear. When they tortured and scared you for 20 odd years, then they expect you to pick a career when you can't really function, you're so full of fear. Then they expect you to pick up the wheel. When you can't really function, you're so full of fear. When the tortured and scared you for 20 odd years.
Woo!
Protect America. It's hard work. But by speaking clearly, it'll mean it's less likely we have to use force. I wake up every day thinking about how best to protect America. That's my job. There's a lot of good people working hard, and we're making progress there. We've done a lot of hard work together over the last 3.5 years, and I have I understand what it means to be the commander in chief. We're making progress. Let me finish. Of course, I know Osama bin Laden attacked. I know that. Of course, we're after Saddam Hussein. I mean, bin Laden. He's. Let me say, I certainly hope so. I think that by speaking clearly, my hardest. The hardest part of the job is to. No doubt about it, it's tough. And it is one of the things I've learned in the White House is that. There's enormous pressure on the president, and you cannot wilt under that pressure. Otherwise, understand that we must. I believe that what you believe in your core, in your heart of hearts, is right for in Iraq. You cannot lead. If you send mixed messages. And so the answer to your question is, you know, it's hard work.
I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Lisa, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Laura. It's great to talk to you, and thank you for the opportunity. I have a question with regard to my 12-year-old daughter.
Divorced, widowed, or never married?
I was divorced.
That's a divorced mother.
Divorced mother, yes.
Single mother is one who never bothered to get married.
I was married, and 8 years ago, it did not work out. Mm-hmm. I had, at the time, my two girls were 2 and 4.
What didn't work out?
My ex-spouse was an adulterer, and after after the third time and counseling and everything else, it was just a path that I did not want to.
How long had you known him?
I knew him about 18 months, and it was just a bad choice that I made, but I fully accept the responsibility.
Well,
and
I appreciate that, but I just want to know, how long were you dating him?
I was dating him for about 16 months, and
mm-hmm.
naive, and honestly, I had not read your book at that time. And
if you had, what might have been different?
I would have, I think a young girl is very easy to be in that la-la love state, and not just...
So what had you noticed that you ignored that if you had read the book you would not have ignored?
I would have maybe looked more at his family and just the way he was raised and what...
No, no. What characteristics of him?
Of him.
Just the man.
More trustworthy. And when there were signs of other people being involved,
So you ignored the fact that he flirted and was probably getting some before you got married. Okay. I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger.
There must be some kind of way out of here.
There's no way out of here when you come in, you're in for good.
There must be some kind of way out of here.
There's no way out of here when you come in, you're in for good.
There must be some kind of way out of here.
There's no way out of here when you come in, you're in for good.
There must be some kind of way out of here.
There's no way out of here when you're in for good.
There must be some kind of way out of here.
There's no way out of here when you come in, you're in for good.
There must be some kind of way out of here.
There's no way out of here when you come in, you're in for good.
There must be some kind of way out of here.
There's no way out of here when you come in, you're in for good.
There must be some kind of way out of here
when you come in, you're in for good.
There must be some kind of way out of here.
There's no way out of here when you come in, you're in for good.
There must be some kind of way out of here.
There's no way out of here when you come in, you're in for good.
There must be some kind of way out of here.
There's a shadow hanging over me. There's a shadow hanging over me. There's a shadow hanging over me.
Two piss owners' persecution. Two piss owners, the level of rather sadistic parent. And he's both the reason they survived and also for his current state of misery. Misery, 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 misery. Both a protector and a tormented bit.
Self-hatred.
He's self-hatred, and most people have that to contend with them to some degree or other. Persecution, rather sadistic, both a protector and a tormented.
Self-hatred.
To this other side of himself. He's a repository of rage and hate. He can be still redeemed. He can be still redeemed. He can be still redeemed.
Self-hatred.
That there is something in him that is likable and is of us. This division of selves. He's the voice of the guy who celebrates other people's loss, you know, or your own sense of loss. I think it's, for most people, it's something that's kind of that.
Self-hatred.
He's self-hatred, and most people have that to contend with them to some degree or other. Creepily familiar to us. I think that's why we kind of warm to him.
Mm.
It's not really an unfamiliar, this division of selves thing. Derision and failure. That
self-hatred.
He's self-hatred, and most people have that to contend with them to some degree or other. He's the... celebrating.
He's the
two personas persecution. Two personas the level of rather sadistic parent, and he's both the reason they survived and also for his current state of misery. Both a protector and a tormentor.
Self-hatred.
He's self-hatred, and most people have that to contend with them to some degree or other. Persecution, rather sadistic, but both a protector and a tormentor.
Self-hatred.
To this other side of himself. He's a repository of rage and hate. He can be still redeemed.
Self-hatred.
That there is something in him that is likable and is of us. This division of selves. He's the voice of the guy who celebrates other people's loss, you know, or your own sense of loss. For most people, it's something that's kind of that.
Self-hatred.
He's self-hatred, and most people have that to contend with him to some degree or other. Creepily familiar to us. I think that's why we kind of warm to him.
Mm.
It's not really an unfamiliar, this division of self thing. Derision and failure. That
self-hatred.
He's self-hatred, and most people have that to contend with him to some degree or other. He's the... celebrating.
My CPU is a neural net processor, a learning computer.
Medulla.
That's all we need. Let's get out of here. I'm getting nervous.
Hypothalamus. Messing cephalon. Medulla.
That's all we need. Let's get out of here. I'm getting nervous.
Hypothalamus. Messing cephalon. Medulla.
That's all we need. Let's get out of here. I'm getting nervous.
Hypothalamus. Messing cephalon.
Airbusman wanders out. Head down. He starts at the opening of the elevator doors, always the mental image of it being full of people, laughing, and so on. Most of the time there is no one there. But there is usually someone on the way down that nervous man has to share the elevator with. He hates it when they laugh. Or when they talk to each other in a foreign tongue. I just want a pastrami sandwich, nervous man thinks, as he shuffles across the underground parking lot in his socks and sandals, light blue jacket, dark blue sweats, and blue shirt. Blue, blue, blue. Always blue. The sky is overcast. The air nippy. As he opens the door, he is very aware of his eyes, dark and serious and slightly mad. He hopes no one looks at them, so he looks down. Nervous man waits nervously in line, until called. It is hard to deal with people without looking at them. He thinks to himself. Fortunately this time, he has a male making his sandwich, otherwise he worries about the females thinking he is looking at their breasts, when he is only trying not to look in their eyes. Getting his sandwich, he eats it methodically in the corner, by the window. This time, they gave him extra napkins without his asking. They know him here now. He suddenly remembers that he has to breathe. He sips his Mountain Dew like a Russian revolver. He doesn't know if it will make him more nervous or wake him up. Depression and anxiety dance a tango in nervous man's head as he looks intently at the black formica of the table. He scoops up the remnants of his sandwich, the bits of lettuce and onion. He pops a small, stray piece of pink flesh into his mouth, and carries the tray to the thank you door, and puts the contents in. Nervous man can still taste the mustard, as he slips out the door into the coldness of the outside, and makes his way, head down, back to his cave.
Little August, so he had a be bruised, her vanity shall rose. So he tells, so he damn, tells me not to say half, but not give, say dance, she are, say it's not we. There's no use for offices. Oh, oh, I'm not in the shin of it. Sir, I've stolen my head to lose to me. Oh, somebody if you've struck. Man, did you look for the roses? Oh, the people were all living in our season.
Nervous New Bells.
Produced by Phineas Narco in the fall of 2004. Major sources and order of appearance: Dr. Laura, Pink Floyd, Yellow, George W. Bush, Devo,
and many others. Visit us on the web at www.nationalsynical.com.